Would you sing along with a praise song that calls for judgment upon your enemies? Well, today we're going to talk about some psalms that do exactly that here on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and we're currently in a series about the Psalms with expert David Renfro. He's walking us through various categories that we find within the Psalms in the Bible. Let's go right into today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're here with David Renfro, a graduate of Dallas Seminary in Old Testament, author of a commentary on Exodus that you can read at thebiblesays.com. And David, you're currently working on a commentary on Numbers, is that right?
Correct.
Very good. So where does the Psalms fit in? Is this a future commentary for you?
It's looking more and more like that. Yeah, I would love to do something in the Psalms.
Well, today I think we're going to look at imprecatory Psalms in particular.
And I want to show you the nature of imprecations in the Psalms.
Now, that's a big word.
Yes, it is a big word, and it's a big word that has a pretty simple definition. What I say is an imprecation is simply a request that the Lord severely punish his enemies or the enemies of his people. Now, in other words, I wish evil upon you.
See, I don't remember the last time I sang a song like that at church. I wish evil upon you. Know,
I'm like, break well, their teeth yeah. and smash their faces.
It's funny because I went on the internet, you know, this new thing that we got, and I typed in the words imprecatory psalms. And a lot of the entries, articles that are out there on various websites are, should Christians pray imprecatory psalms?
Yeah.
For a lot of people, that's a moral issue.
Right. Love your enemies, Jesus said. So how
do we do this? The reason why this is interesting is because most of the time, imprecations are given in other psalms. They're not a specific psalm. But they are in other psalms, and in particular, the lament psalms.
Mm.
There are two categories of lament psalms. There's individual lament, like when David alone says, Lord, I'm in trouble, and that's the bulk of the psalm is his explanation of he needs to be rescued.
Right.
But then there's what we call communal lament, and that means that the people of Israel get together and they cry out to the Lord because some external enemy, like the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Philistines or Canaanites, are coming and they want to destroy them. So the communal laments are there as well. And these imprecations are sprinkled through these lament psalms, both individual and communal lament.
And I guess that would make sense because if you're probably lamenting the same people you're praying imprecations about.
Right. Let me read to you some passages in Psalms that have these imprecations, okay?
Yeah.
Some of them are fascinating. The first one I have here is from Psalm 10:15. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. So is that an expression of love your enemy?
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Psalm 35, verses 2 through 9. Take hold of shield and buckler. Stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear. This is a prayer to the Lord. And stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. That's probably not a good thing for angel of the Lord to chase you. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon them unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall, and let my soul be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation.
So it's almost like, I mean, what I hear is a little bit of the theme of sowing and reaping. If they're sowing evil, let them reap the same evil that they're
and
sowing.
And the idea of imprecations is, I want that to happen.
Right.
Right.
I want you to suffer for what you did.
I'm thinking about Romans chapter 1, where it seems like God's wrath is giving people over to the sins that they're committing.
Right. Romans 1, 18 to 32 talks about that.
It's a similar theme, a little bit.
It is. A lot of what we need to talk about here is this okay for our prayer now?
It seems in politics it's used all the time.
Oh, it is. It's common. That's why I can't
Except
listen to the news
Except they don't mention
very much.
The Lord's name. They just
That's right.
bring down an imprecation on the other people.
Psalm 109, set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. In other words, I want you to die sooner rather than later.
Right. I want you to have a terrible boss.
And I want you to suffer, and then I want you to die prematurely.
Right.
Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let no one extend mercy to him, nor let there be any favor to his fatherless children. You get the idea.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is, you know, even in the New Testament, sometimes there's a distinction drawn between law and gospel. And the law only brings wrath. The law only brings condemnation. The law only shows you all the different ways that you've failed. And it sounds like imprecatory psalms are almost like expressions of law. There's not a whole lot of gospel. There's not a whole lot of love or light there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, maybe there's a role for that.
There is, and that's part of what I want to talk about. A lot of people question the morality of us wishing harm and even death on other people that oppose us. Let me give you one more example here. Psalm 137, which I think is probably a psalm that was in the Babylonian exile, because notice what he says in verse 8. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy is the one who repays you as you have served us. Now get this one. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock.
Yeah, I've never sung that during worship time.
Now, if that's praise, then we got to talk.
Right, yeah. So I could see dispensational issues here. Maybe that would be appropriate, the kind of thing that's appropriate to Israel to pray against your enemies, because God had a special covenant with Israel, and there was a special kind of protections involved if they followed the covenant. But it doesn't seem like the type of thing that the church can pray. Do you have a list of people that you pray for destruction for?
I did, but I lost it. No, I'm kidding. It is a real issue because, you know, the psalmists did this quite often. Several psalmists did this.
Mm-hmm.
And even this, what I was going to bring out is Paul even brings this out. He has an imprecation.
Oh.
Romans 11:9-10. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see and bow down their back always. And that's from Psalm 69:22-23. Paul is quoting Psalm 69. So my question is, since it's in the New Testament and Paul is quoting an imprecation in Romans, of all places, is this appropriate for us?
Well, Romans 9:10-11 deals with the future for Israel. And, of course, Israel's enemies are always opposing the nation. And in Romans 11, he's headed toward Romans 11:26, then all Israel will be saved at the end of the tribulation. But prior to that, Israel's enemies are creating all kinds of calamity for Israel. And it seems appropriate that Paul would say, may Israel's enemies reap what they sow.
So what you're saying is, Paul is taking the imprecatory psalm, and he's only applying it to Israel.
Now, I think he's applying it to the enemies of Israel.
Right, the enemies of Israel, but not necessarily the enemies of Christians, or what?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. When it says, let their table, let their eyes, who's he talking about? At first blush, it seems to me that he's talking about those in Israel that oppose the church. That's my interpretation. Because then you say, like you say in verse 26, Paul says, then all Israel will be saved. Right now, they're opposed to the church. They're opposed to Jesus as Messiah.
Yeah, I think.
But then all Israel will be saved. That's how I'm taking this.
I think you're right, because when you go back to verse 7, it's talking about the fact there's a remnant. And even going up to verse 5, it specifically mentions the word remnant within Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think you're right. I'll take back what I said. That basically, what he's saying in 8, 9, and 10 is talking about the unbelievers within Israel, those who reject Messiah, and that he is doing that. Of course, the Lord even said the reason he spoke in parables is so that people wouldn't understand.
Right.
You know, that he would keep the truth from those who were obstinate and
right.
those who were rejecting. You know, it seems to me, you know, we hear within the liberal branch of Christianity people saying, well, there's the God of the Old Testament.
Right.
But God's not like that today. Well, hello, if you read the end of the book of Revelation, there's lots of judgment that's going to fall during the tribulation.
Right.
Revelation 6 through 19 deals with over half the world's population dying during the 7 years of the tribulation.
I would go more like 90%.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be billions and billions of people die.
Correct.
And you're right, could well be 90%. And the point is, it is appropriate to pray for an imprecation if you know that you're dealing with the enemies of God's people. However, it seems more appropriate within the Israel context because the enemies of Israel oppose that. We're not part of a nation that's a believing nation.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of the church today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Sean, your question about should we be praying this, I would say I don't think we really have New Testament warrant to do this, except for the fact that as we pray for the peace of Israel, it would seem to me it'd be appropriate to pray that God would judge those who oppose Israel.
Yeah. My answer to the question is when Paul and the psalmist are doing these imprecations, you know what they're really doing? Think about it. They're asking God to do what God is going to do already.
Good point.
And these prayers are saying, let it be sooner rather than later. That's how I take it, is that they're asking God to do what he's already planning to do.
Well, that reminds me of the verse, wrath belongs to the Lord.
Right.
That's what these prayers are ultimately about.
Exactly.
Wrath belongs to the Lord. You do that.
I don't think this should be the main content of our prayers.
Well, thank you very much for those thoughts, David. If you've liked what you heard and you'd like to hear previous episodes, go to faithloan.org or go to iTunes or go to Stitcher and keep on listening to this station for future episodes as we go through the different categories of Psalms.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to learn about the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. So don't miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.